Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We start with the latest on Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker's four-month ban on the sale of vaping products. Three Massachusetts vaping retailers have now filed a federal lawsuit challenging the ban. The businesses claim the unilateral ban on sales of vaping products is an overreach and will cause irreparable harm to a number of small businesses in the state. For more, we reached out to attorney Craig Rourke. He is the lawyer who filed the federal lawsuit on behalf of the three companies. And he told us that even a temporary ban will have devastating effects on small local businesses.
4 months isn't a temporary ban when you have to make payroll and rent and insurance premiums. The only ones that are going to be able to survive this are the big retailers like Cumberland Farms. All of the independent shops are going to be out of business.
So, Craig, what specifically does the suit you filed today claim?
Specifically, it claims several constitutional violations by the government's exercise of his authority under this statute. For starters, these products have been regulated by the FDA since 2016, and his ban is a violation of the Supremacy Clause. He's preempted from doing that by the Constitution because the federal government has already taken control of this particular area. In addition, he's violated the Commerce Clause because Massachusetts businesses, wholesalers, and retailers can no longer do business with people from out of state, and wholesalers from out of state, I've been getting calls from them too, can no longer sell to their retail clients in Massachusetts. In addition, he's violated the Contracts Clause by interfering in private contracts, and this seems a lot like a regulatory taking in violation of the Fifth and the 14th Amendments of the Constitution.
So, Craig, now there are both state and federal lawsuits. Can you explain what the difference between them is and why a federal suit was necessary after a state suit had already been filed?
Well, sure, exactly. What happened was the ban came down so fast that on Wednesday morning, I spoke with one of my pre-existing clients, Param Aga, who owns Mass Dynamics LLC, and they operate as Vapor Zone. We started right away, and on my initial research on the state law cases involving this statute, we took it to Suffolk Superior Court seeking declaratory relief and injunctive relief. And since that time, the amount of knowledge that I've gained in this is voluminous. So it turns out that, like I said, all of these products are regulated by the FDA, which implicate all sorts of constitutional claims. And we've been joined in the lawsuit by other shop owners. And we've sharpened the focus on our defendants to just Governor Baker in his official capacity and Dr. Burrell in her official capacity. And, of course, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts because of our claims under 42 U.S.C. Section 1988.
So there is a state law, Craig, that allows, following a declaration by the governor and approval of the Public Health Council, the Commissioner of Public Health can take whatever action is deemed necessary to secure the public health. According to the CDC, we're looking at more than 800 cases of vaping-related illnesses, 12 deaths, and with no real concrete explanation of exactly what's causing it, what do you say to those who say that that short-term prevention of these mysterious illnesses should take precedent over the final financial well-being of vape stores, even if those stores are going to be hit hard by a temporary ban?
For starters, I would say that all of my clients are concerned about people's health. And the FDA has been regulating the products sold by my clients, and none of those products have been related or linked to any of these illnesses. There is some pretty strong body of evidence out there that suggests that these black market bootleg e-liquids that are some sort of a THC resin with a vitamin E are what's causing the majority of the health-related illnesses.
That is true, the majority, Craig, but as I understand it, the CDC can't be confident that there aren't also legal and regulated products that may also be causing some of these illnesses.
What I will say is that the products that are sold in these stores are of grade A ingredients, and they include common things found in many food items like vegetable glycerin and glycol. And the FDA has certified all of the labs where they are tested and approved. And, of course, our shopkeepers are the gatekeepers of keeping these products out of the hands of minors and making sure that safe legal products are available so that people won't have to turn to the black market. Governor Baker's use of his authority under the statute may have been appropriate to say all of those e-liquids containing this vitamin E additive need to be removed from the shelves for a four-month period. That would have been perhaps a proper use of it. But to ban an entire class of products was wrong. And all we want to do is have that bigger discussion that you were just talking about, you know, so that we can find out more information. Never before has this been done with such a slim body of data.
That was Attorney Craig Rourke, who filed the federal lawsuit challenging Governor Baker's four-month ban on the sale of all vaping products. Radio Boston reached out to Governor Charlie Baker and Health Commissioner Monica Burrell. Neither was available, and Burrell's office pointed out that they don't comment on pending litigation. Now, for more on the lawsuit and on the governor's action, we turn to Jay Wexler, a professor of law at Boston University. He also teaches a class on marijuana law. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jay.
Thank you for having me.
So you just heard Attorney Craig Rourke make his case. Let's walk through it. His first argument was that, hey, this is a legal product regulated on the federal level by the FDA, and Governor Baker doesn't have power to preempt that. What do you make of that argument?
Well, that's a complicated argument. Anytime there's a challenge to a state law on the grounds that the federal law has preempted it, it requires kind of a deep dive into the statutory language of both the federal law and the state law. And I, from the basis of the complaint itself, I can't make an evaluation of that. It's certainly a plausible argument.
But it's also not that simple.
It's not a simple argument, I don't believe, no.
Okay. So the lawsuit also argues that the governor's ban is a violation of the Commerce Clause. How about that? Does that have traction?
Well, that's a really interesting claim. The Commerce Clause, what we call it, actually the dormant Commerce Clause, the part of the Commerce Clause that's sort of sleeping, is the one that ensures that we have a national market in goods and services, and it prohibits individual states from discriminating against other states or restricting commerce from other states. And so that's definitely a plausible argument here because Governor Baker's action prohibited the sale of vaping products from other states in the state of Massachusetts. Now, what courts will do in those kinds of cases is kind of do a balancing analysis where they'll look at the benefit to interstate commerce versus the health effects of the product and sort of decide based on all the factors whether or not the ban is justified. So that's an issue which will have to be litigated, and the courts will make a judgment about it. But it's certainly a plausible suggestion, and it will just come down to what the facts of the case show.
All right. So the third of the three parts of the case is this contracts clause argument. Maybe you can explain to us what that is and what the argument would be that the governor violated it.
Well, the contracts clause is a federal constitutional provision which prohibits the government from interfering and abrogating privately made contracts, and this. The argument here would be that the plaintiffs have contracts with suppliers and distributors, et cetera, and this makes it impossible for them to fulfill those contracts. And that again is a fairly obscure constitutional clause, and it's not exactly clear how the courts will look at that case either, that challenge either. I think it may also come down to a kind of evaluation of the health benefits of the ban and whether those justify this kind of interference with private contracts.
So they're going to sort of balance the claims against federal and constitutional law against the public health claims that the governor used to make the ban.
Right, and that's why I think this lawsuit is really important, because it will require the courts to get into the factual basis behind the ban, which I think is an important thing for the courts to look into.
Why?
Well, because the relationship between what the facts upon which the governor issued this emergency and the action of the Commissioner of Public Health are not entirely lined up. There has to be sort of a proportionality between a reasonable relationship between the facts that are found and the actions that are taken. And here, if you read the emergency declaration, it's all about how vapes are dangerous, kids are using vapes, this is happening in Massachusetts. But then the ban is about banning all commercial vapes. There's nothing in the declaration of the emergency which says it is the vapes that come from these commercial suppliers that are causing all the problems.
Interesting. There's also nothing to keep people from using vapes they already have in the temporary ban.
Right. That's true. Or to go farther into the illicit market to get other unregulated items. So this is a policy argument rather than a legal one. But on a policy basis, there's certainly I think it's a very overbroad ban personally. I think there's a lot to critique about it because it's not clear that the harm that's being caused is being remedied by what the Commissioner of Public Health is doing. And as you suggest, it could actually result in more harm as people go into the illicit market and get adulterated vapes or even start smoking again.
All right, there is a lot to watch there. That is Jay Wexler, a professor of law at Boston University. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.